We are in the final week of our series, Heroes of Faith. You've made it through all these weeks, and as we've been going through this series, if you haven't been with us and you're joining us or you're reconnecting after a while, what we're doing is we're going through Hebrews chapter 11, which we call the roll call of faith, where the writer to the Hebrews has listed different individuals and people and their stories. He's talked about what it is that we have heroes of faith who've gone before us to show us the way. And if you have been with us or you don't remember all of it, it started with Abel. And we looked at Abel was the first person who worshiped God from his heart. It's one of the first accounts of worship we have in the Bible. And so we met Abel, and then we met Enoch. And Enoch was a man who walked so close with God. And I kept telling you every week, one day he went out for a walk and he walked right into heaven. He walked with God and God took him home. And then we came to Noah, a man of great faith. Why is he a man of great faith? Because here's a man who built a boat in the middle of the desert when the world had never seen rain before. And didn't know what a flood was, but God said, I'm going to flood the earth, build an ark, build a boat to escape. And then we met Abraham. His story is by faith. By faith, Abraham packed up his belongings and went on a journey without a GPS. Everywhere he went, God would direct him and lead him and guide him. By faith, Abraham believed that although he was 75 years old and getting older, with no children, God said, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. Abraham, by faith, believed. Then we met Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, who carried on the same tradition of their father Abraham, who by faith believed that God would build that family into a great nation. By faith, they passed on faith to the next generations. Last week we met Moses, who Moses by faith refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith he left the riches of Egypt and all that he had to go and travel into the wilderness to learn to be a shepherd of God's people. By faith Moses went back to Egypt and told the Pharaoh, let my people go. By faith Moses crossed the Red Sea by faith. And it brings us to the last two people that the writer to the Hebrews talks about in detail, or in summary rather, of the story on the roll call of faith. So if you turn to Hebrews 11 or join us on the YouVersion Bible app and go to events and pull up our notes, you can save them there. And look at verses 30 and 31. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Jericho and Rahab, too unlikely people in the roll call of faith. First of all, if you think about it, Jericho's not a people. Right? Is Jericho a people? No, Jericho is a city. Jericho contains people, but that's not what we're talking about. Jericho. So the first thing we notice, the Bible tells us, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell. It's the only mention in this whole roll call of faith of a person who's not a person. It's a reference to a story. It's a reference to an account. It's a reference to something that had happened way back in Israel's future. It doesn't say by faith Joshua led the campaign, because that's what we would expect here. By faith Joshua, and we would talk about Joshua, but that's not the story. It says by faith the walls of Jericho fell. Why does it say it that way? Because I think what the writer is trying to tell us is this is bigger than a story. It's bigger than a leader. It's bigger than a city. This thing is so big, it's God big. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, the promise given to Abraham that one day his inheritance would be the promised land. This whole thing of Jericho is the beginning of the fulfillment of that promise. By now, Israel is a nation, probably a million strong. By now, they have endured 400 years of slavery. They've endured 40 years of wandering in the desert. They are crossing over to the promised land, and Jericho is the first obstacle they come against. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. It's the fulfillment of the promise that God made to Abraham. Now, you need to understand something about Jericho, so I'm going to share it with you. The first thing we need to know is the walls of Jericho were massive structures. Don't think of a fence. Don't even think of a wall. No wall like we have. None of us own a wall in our homes that's anything like the walls of Jericho. Jericho wasn't alone in its day to be a city that was fortified by a wall, but there seems to be something about the walls of Jericho. The walls of Jericho were so big and so high and so thick and so strong. We're told that it's very possible that the walls of Jericho were so big that chariots could ride side by side along the top of them. We are told, even in the story in Joshua chapter 2, that people's houses were contained within the walls because the walls were so thick. We're going to meet Rahab in a few minutes. She lived in a house in the wall. That's how big. We're not talking a fence. You know, we're not talking a big barrier. We're talking about a wall that is humongous. It's massive. And cities were built with these walls all around them, and it was their protection. People lived in that city and they were protected, and there were big gates usually in the walls, and the gates were open and closed at certain times to protect the citizens of that city. They were always closed at night, so nothing bad would happen within the city at night. And they were open in the day, and the people were checked. And so this massive wall was a place of protection. So Jericho is this fortress city. It's strategically placed right near the Jordan River. Jericho. It's the first city Israel is going to come to when they cross over into the promised land. See, 40 years had passed since Israel crossed the Red Sea by faith. 40 years earlier, it was Moses. If you remember our story last week, if you were here, that they went through the Red Sea and the waters parted and they walked through, and then the Egyptian army was drowned in that same water. That was 40 years earlier. Because there's something you need to understand. You see, at that point when they had crossed the Red Sea, Moses sent 12 spies into the land to go visit the promised land. And they spent 40 days spying it out, and they came back with a negative report. They came back with this report that said, "We've seen the land. The land is great. It's beautiful. It's flowing with milk and honey." Now, you remember what I told you that means, right? It doesn't mean there were honey running down the rivers. I mean, or milk. You know, when I was a kid, I couldn't understand flowing with milk and honey. I thought, that's an awful place. I mean, the river, if it's milk, has got to stink. And if honey's everywhere, it's sticky. But it's a reference to a land that is fertile. A land that's going to produce crops and be good for animals. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And the spies go out, and 12 of them go for 40 days, and they spy out all the land, including Jericho. And they come back to Moses and Israel, and they say to Moses and to the nation, "Oh, it's a beautiful place, you know. The lands are lush, the palm trees are beautiful, the oceans," no, I'm joking. "But the water is clear and tasty. Oh, it's beautiful, but the cities are fortified. And the people are giants. We're like grasshoppers. We can't do this. It's too big. It's too hard. It's too difficult. I mean, we've been wandering in the desert for 40 years. We're shepherds and nomads. We've got no army of any military strength. We don't even know what an army is. None of our boys grew up in the army. We can't do this. 10 of them brought that report. 2 of them, named Joshua and Caleb, said, no, we could do this. Because God is on our side, we could do this. Because God is with us, we will do this. Let's go and do this. It's amazing what a negative report could do. It's amazing what negativity could do in our lives. Negativity could take us down. Negativity could drain the energy out of us. Negativity could make us see everything with the wrong eyes. 10 spies brought back a negative report, and the nation believed the negative report. Whose report will you believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. As a result of this negative report, Israel said, grumbled and complained, and that became their history for 40 years. They grumbled and complained. Be careful when you're negative, all you do is grumble and complain. And when you grumble and complain, nobody wants to be your friend. Nobody wants to be around you. God punished them. That's why they walked the desert for 40 years. God said, 1 year for every day that the spies were in the land, you're going to walk around. This generation will die in the desert. I'll bring the next generation into the promised land. And that's where we are now. We're in the next generation. It's 40 years later. You see, the real obstacle was not Jericho or the promised land. It was unbelief. So now here we are. Moses has died. That generation has died. They've wandered for 40 years. They're on the other side of the Jordan River. And God's going to bring them across. God's plan for Jericho was for the people to do nothing more than a few symbolic acts. By that I mean all they had to do was be obedient. See, God gave a plan to Joshua. So what happened is 40 years in the desert's gone. I'm taking it back a second. They've crossed the Jordan and they're about to go to Jericho. And God gives Joshua the craziest of all military plans you have ever heard in the history of the world. I mean, Gideon had some crazy plans, but this is crazier still. And God said to Joshua, you're going to take the people and you're going to march around the city of Jericho once a day for 6 days. That's all. That's it. So once a day, they all got up, and I mean, they went in a progression, and God gave, you know, priests with horns and the Ark of the Covenant and the Levites and then all the people. And they walked around. Every day they got up, they went for a walk, and they came back home. That was it for 6 days in a row. The seventh day was a little bit more work. God said, on the seventh day, you're going to get up, and you're going to go around it 7 times. And when you do the seventh turn, The priests will blow their trumpets, their ram's horns actually. And when the people hear the blast of the ram's horn, they're to shout victory and the walls are going to come down. Now, imagine you in that crowd in Israel. Imagine you getting your little kid up early morning saying, come on, we got to go for a walk today. But mommy, why? Just because. But mommy, why? Because God said so. But mommy, why? Because Joshua told us to. But mommy, why? Come on, that's got to be going through your head. Why am I doing this? I feel like I'm going in circles. Sometimes we go in circles until God says stop. Going in circles. God, you're going to go in circles for 7 days, but at the end of it, I'm going to say stop. And so here they are, and they're going around in circles. They marched and marched and marched. And on the seventh day, now you could imagine that as this happens on day one, people inside the city are a little curious. On day two, they're getting more curious. And on day three, they're really curious. On day four, they're starting to make fun of you. I could see them standing on the wall going, what are you doing? Do you want some water? Are you thirsty? Are you crazy? On day 7th, they watched them march 7 times, and then they heard a shout, and then the walls crumbled. See, the people obeyed in faith, and the walls fall flat, as was predicted. 7 days of marching around a city. 7 days of trusting God. 7 days of saying, I'm not sure if this is going to work. Let's be honest. Somebody in that crowd, one of those days must have thought, is this really going to make a difference? Haven't you ever said that? God, I'm following what you say, but does it make a difference? God, I'm following what your word tells me, but I don't see a difference. God, I'm trying to live by your standards, but I don't feel like I'm getting ahead. God, I try to be obedient to your word, but I don't see any results. See, there were no results on day one. There were no results on day two. You get the picture? There were no results on day three. In fact, there were no results on day 7 on the first turn. There are no results on the second turn. On the third turn, I'm getting really tired of this. Like, it's hot. The sun is beating on us. We've been doing this for 7 days now. It's the third time. It's the fourth. It's the fifth time today. Come on. Suddenly, it's the seventh time. And now something is different. The parade has stopped. The trumpets blast. The people shout. And the walls come down. Wow. See, Jericho was the first obstacle in the promised land. From the human perspective, it was an impossible situation. From a human perspective, this obstacle was too big, too massive, too strong, too impenetrable. All we are is a bunch of ex-slaves who've walked in the desert for 40 years. We're nomads. We're no army. We're shepherds with tents, no houses. And all we're doing is wandering in circles for 7 days. The walls are high, the walls are thick, the walls are big, they are protected. It's a fortress city. What am I doing here? It's the first obstacle in the promised land. And when the walls came down, when Jericho came tumbling down, the people saw firsthand that God was with them. When the walls came down, when they gave that shout, when the trumpets blew, they understood that God was with them. And they understood that as they journeyed into the promised land from this point on, what God did at Jericho, God could do for them over and over and over again. It wasn't that the walls were so big. It was that their God is even bigger. It wasn't that Jericho was impossible. They had to understand that the God that they followed was the God of the impossible. They had to understand that if God could take care of Jericho, God could take care of everything. In your journey of faith, you will face a Jericho. In your journey of faith, you're going to come to this time, into this place where the city seems big, where the walls seem so big, so massive, so high, and so strong. As you journey with God in this life, there's going to come a point and a time in your life where you're going to come up to your Jericho. And you need to decide at that very moment, whose report will you believe? At that very moment, you need to decide, am I going to believe what 10 negative spies have to say about this situation, or am I going to believe what God says about this situation? In your journey of faith, you will come to your Jericho. It's those times where you need to have faith in God. It's in those times where you have to believe God's word. It's at those times where you got to believe that God's precepts are God's precepts. It's at those times where you need to believe that God's promise is his promise. It's at those times where you need to believe that God's word is God's word. God is good. Good. Good, good, good. He'll never let me down. Never let me down. Never let me down. But pastor, you don't know. Work is impossible. Pastor, you don't know. Sickness is impossible. Pastor, you don't understand. My children, it's impossible. Pastor, you don't understand. My finances are impossible. You're right, I don't understand. But this I do know, that the God who takes down the walls of Jericho are the God who takes down the walls of our problems. This I do know, that even though we can't see the answer with our natural eyes, God is asking us to see with his eyes. God does not bring you to a place of destruction. He brings you to a place of building up. God brings you to the place where the walls that surround you can come down if you will put your eyes and your faith and your hope in the one who says, shout, shout. By faith, the walls of Jericho came down. And that ties right into the last person on this list. By faith, Rahab welcomed the spies. It's kind of funny that the writer puts these two in opposite order. See, Rahab is before Jericho, but Jericho is important to Rahab. Who is Rahab? I'm so glad you asked me. See, Rahab is the most unlikely character on this list of heroes. Rahab is a lady who lives in Jericho. Jericho is her hometown. It's a place where she's lived. See, I mean, we expect to see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses. Let's be honest. If you've read your Bible, if you know any of your Bible stories, maybe you grew up in Sunday school, maybe you didn't, but I mean, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, yeah. Even Noah, I mean, everybody knows Noah, yeah. Rahab. First of all, I mean, for one thing, she's a prostitute. He said that at church. I didn't say it, the Bible did. She was a prostitute. And not only is she a prostitute, she's a Gentile. And not only is she a Gentile, she's a Canaanite. And not only is she a Canaanite, but she's from the tribe of the Amorites. I mean, you don't get much worse. There was a time when God cursed the Amorites and said he would blot them from the face of the earth. And this is where this woman comes from. I mean, she's not Abraham. I mean, the writer doesn't say Sarah or Rebecca. He says Rahab. Rahab. Why Rahab? Because God wants to teach us a lesson we need to learn. God wants to remind us about his grace and his mercy. Amen. See, you need to understand this about Rahab. Rahab had no more insight than any other inhabitant of Jericho. What do I mean by that? Well, here's Rahab. Now back up. I've given you the end of the story. Now back it up. You know, can you rewind your PVR in your mind a second? Israel is on the other side of the Jordan, the desert side. They're waiting to cross into the promised land, and Joshua's smart. He's not going to do what Moses did. Moses sent 12 spies. 10 with a negative report. Joshua was one of the two, him and Caleb. He said, I'm going to send some positive people. I'm going to send some faith. I don't know if it says this, but I mean, he looks for men of faith and he sends two spies into Jericho. So they must have gone in the day when the doors were open and the gates were open, and in they went. And they went to spy out Jericho because this was going to be the first place that they come to as they enter the promised land. The spies go into Jericho, and the king of Jericho and the authorities of Jericho find out that spies are in the land, in the city. And in fact, the Bible tells us they went to Rahab's house. Think about that. The men of God went to the house of the prostitute. If that happened today, Twitter would blow up. If that happened today, somebody's ministry would have ended. But the two men of God went to the prostitute's house. And they have an interaction with her. And I'm going to tell you this story. If you don't believe me, it's Joshua chapter 2. Tells us this whole story, but in a nutshell, here it is. They go to her house, and the authorities find out that they've been to her house, so they go to Rahab's house and say, give us the two men that have shown up at your place, because we want them, probably to kill them, but we want the spies. And she goes, well, yes, two men were here, but they've since left. I didn't know who they were. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, she lies. I mean, all of this is a lie. She said, they left and they went out to the hills. Go chase after them. She made it all up because she took the two spies and she hid them on her roof under the flax that she was drying in the sun. And she went up there and she told them, I've told them this. And you'll escape in the middle of the night. I've got a plan. You see, because Rahab's house was in the wall. And one of the windows to her rooms was over the outside of the wall. And so she put a rope out her window. She let the two spies down. She told them to go in the opposite direction, hide for 3 days before they went home. This is Rahab. And she has an interaction with these spies before they escape. And she says, we're afraid of you in this city. Catch us. Remember, they are a nomadic people who've been walking in the desert for 40 years who have no military strength. And she says to them, our city is terrified of you and your God. We've heard. Think about this. We've heard what happened at the Red Sea. They heard the stories of 40 years ago, and it terrified them. We know that God has protected your nation as you walk through the desert for 40 years. We're aware of this in our city. And that's why the king, that's why the authorities are looking for you, because they're afraid of you. We're afraid of you. Because of the power and might of your God. We're afraid. So she hides them, they escape, and she says, now I ask one thing. When you come to take the city, would you spare me because of my kindness to you? And the two spies said to her, here's the deal. We will spare you and all of your family, all whoever you can get into your house when we come. And if you take the scarlet rope and you hang it from the window we escaped from, when we come, you and everyone in your house will be saved. That's the story. And you can understand what happened. Exactly what they said. She and all of her house were spared. When the walls, I don't know how it happened. I have this imagination that, I mean, the walls of Jericho came down and her house was standing. That's what I see. And Israel knew the house that has the scarlet rope, don't touch it. Because see, Israel went in and destroyed everything in Jericho except Rahab and her family and all in her house. See, in the midst of this pagan unbelief, Rahab believed and confessed. She said, the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth below. She welcomed the spies in peace. She staked her life on the fact that God is who God said he is. She staked her life on the fact that the God of Israel is the true God of heaven. And she had to stake her life on it, or she had no hope. For her faith, Rahab was not only spared, but she was honored. I told you it's an unlikely character when you start with her life. She's a Gentile, Canaanite, Amorite woman who's a prostitute, who the writer puts in the heroes of faith category. Right there, she is remembered as a person of faith. But you want to know the rest of the story? She becomes the mother of Boaz. Boaz is the character that marries Ruth. Ruth and Boaz are the great-great-grandparents of King David. Thereby, Rahab the prostitute is in the lineage of Jesus of Nazareth. That's why she is included as a hero of faith. And here's the lesson. God is not held hostage by your past, but gives you a new future and a hope. Doesn't matter what you were. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter that you're an Amorite, Canaanite, Gentile woman in the city of Jericho whose pastime is a prostitute. God doesn't care about your past. The moment you tell God you're giving him your future, God doesn't hold your past against you. God doesn't hold those mistakes against you. You know who does? The devil. And you know who else does? You do. You do. Now, I think sometimes the devil plays on that. The devil comes and says, you can't because. You can't move forward with God because. I remember what you did when you were a teenager. I remember what you did when you thought nobody was there. See, we hold people's past against them. We hold our own past against us. But Rahab stands to tell us that God is not held hostage by your past. Your past has no hold on God. Because when you give your life to Christ, when you say, Jesus, I need you to be Lord, Savior, and Master of my life. Forgive me of my sin. God looks at you and he sees no past. There is no judgment. Because Jesus paid the price on a cross and his blood was shed. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. But the blood of Jesus forgives you of your past. And when God looks at you, your past does not hold him hostage. He doesn't say, oh, he can't or she can't because they did this or they did that. God says, I see one who my son died for and they are forgiven and they are clean. There is no more past baggage. Because Jesus forgives it all. God is not held hostage by your past. God doesn't stop. God doesn't keep your past from stopping your future. And neither should you. Neither should you. Don't let your past stop you from moving forward with God. That's a lesson we need to learn. Let's be honest. In 2019, if we had to write Rahab's story, we would not include it on that list. Let's be honest. Oh, Abraham. Oh, yeah, Abraham had his failures. Isaac, he had his failures. Joseph, he's probably okay. Maybe Joseph gets a pass. You know, even Moses blew it. Moses was a murderer first. Rahab, oh, can't put a prostitute on that list. Folks, God doesn't care about your past. He's concerned about your future. God doesn't care where you came from. He's concerned with where you're going. God doesn't see the mistakes and the sin of the past and say, oh, that disqualifies you from eternity with me. God says, I sent my son to die for you. There's nothing you can do that's stronger than what he did. Don't let your past hold you hostage to your future. Look how the writer to the Hebrews closes the story. I kind of purposely misled you. See, Jericho and Rahab aren't really the last people mentioned. They're the last stories mentioned. The writer goes on to end the rest of this chapter. Verse 32. And what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of the lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weaknesses was turned to strength. That's Rahab, isn't it? That should be you and me. Whose weaknesses was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. I see the disciples in Paul. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. Oh, that's huge. That's a whole series. They were commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. None of them received. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. That's how the story ends. It ends with this phrase, God had planned something better for us. God had planned something better for us. Look at those words. Read them in your head. God had planned something better for us. We are us. You are us in this verse. God had planned something better for us, for all the believers down through the ages, for every believer like you and like I. We can be included in the list of the heroes of faith. God had something better planned for us. See, the list is not yet complete. It's not finalized. There's room for more names. There's room for your name. Would you stand with me if the worship team comes back? God's desire is that your name and your story would be listed as a hero. See, it's not about what kind of supertacular event can you do with your life. It's not, you know, can you stay in the lion's den? It's not, can you build a big boat in the desert? It's not, can you survive the palace? It's not any of those things. every one of the heroes that we've listed, every one of the heroes whose stories we've looked about, I want you to understand, I hope you grabbed it this morning, that they're heroes not because of their story. They're heroes not because of the great things that they might or might not have done. They're not heroes because of a great event. They are heroes because they dared to believe God. They're heroes because they dared to trust God. They're heroes because they believed what God said and not what they saw. They're heroes because they believed what God spoke into their lives even though they didn't see it. Abraham believed he was the father of a great nation. He never saw more than a son and maybe a grandson. He saw no nation. Yet he believed. He believed, and because he believed, the nation came. They're heroes because they dared to believe God and his word. They trusted God even if they didn't see it come to pass. Will you be a hero today? Will you be a hero today? God is looking to add names to the list of heroes. God is waiting to add your name to the list of heroes. God is waiting for people who will trust him and believe him no matter what. God is looking for heroes who will say, I may see a wall of Jericho before me, but I believe that God could do it. God is looking for heroes today who might say, my past might be like that of Rahab, but it is forgiven and forgotten, and I am moving onward and upward, and I dare to believe in God. That what God could have done in the past, he'll do again. I dare to believe that my past is of no consequence to my future as long as I trust God. Will you be a hero today? Will you be a hero today? Will you say in your heart, I trust you, God? Will you say in your heart, I believe you, God, regardless of what I'm facing? Will you say, Lord, I want to be a hero of faith today? I messed up in my past. I've committed some things I'm ashamed of today. But I'm so thankful, Father, that you're the forgiver of my sin. Just before I close, would you close your eyes and bow your heads? I just feel I need to ask you today. So you say, Pastor, I want to be a hero, but I don't even know who God is. I don't even know who Jesus is. I've never come to realization of Jesus before, but Pastor, as I'm here today, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want Jesus to forgive me of my sin, my wrong, my selfishness. If that's you today, would you just lift your hand and look at me so I could see you? You can put your hand down. Put your hand down. I ask one more time, just in case I missed you. If that's you, would you lift your hand this morning? Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus and make things right. Wonderful. Those of you who lift your hand, would you just fill out a card and come see me later? One of the connection cards. To the rest of us, are you willing to be a hero? Do you want to be a hero? Will you be a hero? Will you trust God with everything that you have? Will you trust him with everything that you are? Will you trust him despite your past? Will you believe him for your future? Will you trust him in the shadow of Jericho's walls? Will you trust him that if he could bring down the walls of Jericho with a shout, he can change your situation with a shout? Father, we give you the glory and the honor.